You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, October 7th show, bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events and our local economy and how it can affect your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can talk with the guests I have on the show by calling at 1-855-400-1150 or going online at themoneyhour.com. And we're talking about automobile accidents. What do you do? How do you protect yourself? We were kind of talking before I went to commercial about diminished value. And you give a definition of what is diminished value.
Diminished value, loss in market value of your property, the difference of value before the loss and after the loss.
Paul? Good description there.
Well, I mean, when an automobile or a home or any property can suffer diminished value, if there's a casualty loss, the property will be repaired, but there's a chance that based on the nature of the damage, under most circumstances, it will not be the same as it was before the collision.
Yeah.
An auto body shop simply can't replicate most factory processes. So that residual damage influences consumer behavior in the aftermarket and in the pre-owned consumer market. So you're going to have a harder time liquidating that vehicle, and its value is going to go down. And that is the collision has interfered with one of your fundamental property rights to liquidate your property at will for any reason or no reason at all. And damage to a right is the foundation of why you can bring a civil claim.
So making sure that you're actually compensated for that loss that you're going to have when you sell that vehicle. So what about other areas that there are in an accident claim?
Well, so you're talking about maybe the loss of use of your property.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that I see is my repair shop does repair some high-end vehicles. And in some of those claims, in a third-party loss, when somebody runs into my client, they want to provide a base model vehicle for somebody driving a highline vehicle. So, for instance, you have a BMW or a Porsche or Mercedes, and you have a significant collision. Your car's in the shop for weeks or months, and you're in a small econo box. You know, four seat belts, four seats, good enough. There's foundation for a recovery to be made whole. I think I'd let the lawyer speak specifically about the law. I write appraisals about the value.
Sure.
I think that's an area Paul works in.
How's the law come in, Paul?
Insurance companies are absolutely convinced that all they owe is the same number of seatbelts. And it's virtually impossible until a judge tells them otherwise to get them to pay otherwise.
Sure.
But there's a good argument to be made that your right of quiet enjoyment in the vehicle, your right to use the vehicle, is based on the nature of the vehicle, and so you're owed compensation for something comparable. Back in 1962, the Supreme Court of Washington defined loss of use to be your inconvenience, and giving you the same number of seatbelts makes up for inconvenience. But then in 1986, the legislature passed the Tort Reform Act and defined loss of use as an economic damage, something objectively verified. Not based on the inconvenience or lack thereof of a person, but based on an objective valuation of the piece of property. So damaging a Ferrari is different than damaging a Nissan Sentra.
Of course.
The loss of use of those two vehicles are different in terms of the severity of the claim you can bring.
Makes sense. So, Paul, what about uninsured motorist coverage and why it's important to have that in your policy?
So underinsured motorist coverage is a floating layer of coverage that protects on your own auto policy that protects you if someone causes a collision and damages you to a greater extent than they have liability coverage to pay.
Mm-hmm.
It's important because the legislature established the minimum liability limits to be legal on the road decades ago. $10,000 for property damage does not go a long way anymore. Mm-hmm. $25,000 for injuries does not go very far, since medical costs are escalating through the roof over the past 20 years.
Why haven't they updated those minimums?
Good question.
Yeah.
people aren't pursuing their legislators to do it.
Well, and because the legislature's, you know, busy tackling things like the Supreme Court telling them they have to fully fund schools and there's no money to do it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just legislative priorities.
Sure.
But the other reason is because people can protect themselves despite the fact that most people driving out on the road don't have enough insurance to cover a catastrophically injured individual or repair and pay the diminished value for a high-end automobile. You can purchase coverage that's very good value for very high limits for someone who's completely uninsured or for someone who doesn't have enough insurance. Your own insurance policy will step in and take over and make up the difference between what you damage you've actually suffered and what you can collect from the person who caused the wreck.
And that's the best insurance value there is. You know, so often people are looking for ways to save money and they think, okay, well, we can drop that. And I've heard the explanation by agents. They'll say, well, you've got comp collision, so you've got coverage, so you can drop that. It's no big deal. But there's so many people out there on the road, like Paul just said, that either are underinsured or have no insurance at all.
Yeah.
And so you get hit by somebody and then there's you're bound by the exclusions in your policy, whereas under the uninsured, underinsured portion of the policy, it's a little broader coverage.
Significantly broader.
Well, it doesn't extend more than just, I mean, like the UIM bodily covers you like in a, you know, next to your vehicle in a crosswalk.
Yeah, I mean, for take underinsured motorist bodily injury coverage for instance, the no fault coverage you can purchase is personal injury protection. It pays your medical bills. Underinsured motorist bodily injury coverage pays the non economic damages for the way the collision affects your quality of life. PIP is under no obligation to do that. Collision coverage will repair your vehicle. It will not pay a diminished value claim. Underinsured motorist coverage will. You can get no-fault rental reimbursement coverage at a certain dollar rate per day, but that's the most you can get. So if you have a vehicle and you want something comparable, you need to look to your underinsured motorist coverage to make up the difference between the no-fault coverage you purchased and the comparable vehicle that you're owed.
Got it. So let's talk about full coverage.
Well, that's I think full coverage is a myth. I think I would defer to Mike Harbor, the public adjuster, to talk about that coverage. I don't think there's any such thing as full coverage. That's just something that people say.
Well, when you purchase insurance, it's like the cafeteria. I mean, you go in and you decide what you want. And if you just get the minimum that you're required by law in order to have the privilege of driving on our roads, you have to have $10,000 in liability. But that's all you're required.
Yeah.
From there, you decide, okay, then what do you want? You want comp collision? You want PIP? You want uninsured motors? You want rental coverage? I mean, there's many different things that you can purchase that are part of your policy. So what is full coverage? I mean, if you go into your agent, and boy, nowadays it's online type stuff, so you have to be careful what you're buying. But you go in and you purchase insurance and you just say, well, you want full coverage. And I'm finding that they're leaving off the uninsured motorist.
Really?
Because that's it's a loser for the insurance companies.
Yeah.
It's cheap. It's the cheapest coverage there is. And the insurance companies don't like it because it is a loser for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that you really should have. And I encourage people, that's one of the most important things to have in your
portfolio. So having a full coverage plus the uninsured.
Yeah. Well, more importantly, when clients come to me and I ask them about their own coverages that we can use for a collision and they tell me they have full coverage, my first answer is, no, you don't.
Yeah, wow. That's
it doesn't
scary.
Exist. Yeah, there is no such thing as full coverage.
Is there a box you can check that says full coverage?
Absolutely not.
Right.
You need to understand exactly what products you are purchasing. Break down the insurance policy into what is available and what you are choosing to purchase. Intending to purchase full coverage, saying that you're purchasing full coverage, is the wrong paradigm to approach that problem.
Yeah.
It's like a cafeteria. You have to pick from the menu what you want.
You know, and unfortunately, I mean, who likes to go home and when you get home from a long day at work and you're going to go home and you're going to pick up your insurance policy and you're going to read it, right? I mean, you just don't do that.
My husband would.
Well,
he's the only one.
Well, yeah, he probably is the only one. But, you know, what happens is you don't look at it until you need it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you find out, uh-oh, I thought we had full coverage. And then come to find out, oh, yeah, well, they dropped that off, and it was
$80. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
Mike, as an insurance expert, maybe you can speak to this a little more. Are all insurance policies, because you buy it on price, right? That's what you should do is buy the cheapest policy, and they're all the same, right?
You get what you pay for, just like anything else.
Just like anything else.
Yeah. So policies aren't the same.
No, they're not.
Right. So when you buy coverage, you have to know what you're buying. And just because coverage A, I mean, insurance A says it's $100 a month and insurance B says it's $120, doesn't mean you're getting the same things. Even if the coverage amounts, liability, collision, are the same, the terms and conditions in the policy are different. So I'm insured with PEMCO. Uh-huh. In my opinion, the best insurance company locally out of almost every company I've ever dealt with or, you know, seen claims managements with. I went and read my policy, met my agent. I know what I bought there.
Yeah.
And I got really good coverage from a company I believe and continue to see make good claims payments and act in good faith. There's a laundry list of other companies I wouldn't choose to have insurance with because I've read the policy.
Sure.
I see how they settle claims. So I think it's important consumers understand policies are not the same.
Yeah. So for my listeners listening right now and thinking, well, gosh, I got to go back and I've got to, you know, make sure that I've got the right coverage. What would your call to action and their advice to them to make sure that they understand, you know, what they have? Obviously reading through the whole thing, but who can they get advice from?
Well, I think a public adjuster like Mike is an expert in claims, and Paul, as an attorney that works in the area of insurance claims and a policy expert, what's the CPCU designation,
so,
Paul?
In terms of purchasing insurance, if you're going to find an agent, try to find one who has a designation called the Chartered Property Casualty Underwriter, the CPCU.
Okay.
That's a program that an agent or an attorney or a claims adjuster can go through that exhaustively explains available coverages.
Okay.
So you can get good advice from that individual.
That's great advice.
I'm a CPCU, uh-huh. And in a nutshell, what I tell people is buy all the insurance you can really afford. You know,
yes.
It's a balancing test.
Sure.
Don't go overboard.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, have high liability limits because there are Ferraris driving out there.
Yep. Yeah.
Have underinsured motorists.
Makes
that
sense.
Little bit of extra personal injury protection for $15 every six months. It can come in handy.
So we've got just a couple minutes here, and I want to kind of wrap up and talk about how do you protect yourself after a car accident. John, how would you answer that?
Well, my first instinct is to protect yourself before the accident. Become informed and to understand the process.
Great point.
And, you know, I had a claim a few years back, and I was very clear with the insurance company that I had a shop that I wanted to have my property repaired at, but they asked me three other times after that,
mm-hmm.
and wanted me to take it to one of their direct repair shops. So I think it's just real important that you question the body shop, maybe call a dealership, get some referrals, go online,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, make sure that body shop is truly going to repair your car in a quality manner and not be concerned about so much how they're going to please the insurance industry and how many jobs the insurance industry is going to funnel into that shop so they can, you know, keep their processes going.
Remember the three rules.
Yes.
Don't take advice from somebody who owes you money.
Uh-huh.
Do everything in writing with an insurance company and follow rule number one and rule number two. And, you know, everybody's busy. Everybody's got their own life. And all of a sudden you get this interruption of an accident. And if you just remember those three rules, it will save you a lot of grief.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is go get free legal advice. Almost every single attorney who handles motor vehicle collision claims offers free consultations.
Okay,
I spend
great advice.
At least an hour a day giving out free legal advice to people whose cases I am not going to take, but who have problems. Just call a lawyer. There's usually no obligation.
I'd probably give out 2 or 3 hours every day free advice.
You guys are awesome. Well, so, Jeff, as we're wrapping things up here, what's your final?
So kind of piggybacking on what John said, that a collision repair facility that is under that is a preferred shop from the insurance company, they have a contract. They have a contract to use specific parts. They have a contract to meet the mandates of the insurance company. Mm-hmm. That makes that body shop, you know, they're an agent of that insurance company. Their interests and loyalties lie there, mm-hmm. not with you.
Yes.
Right? So you know the difference. Regarding protecting yourself after an accident, one of the first things that Paul said, I think you asked a question about, do insurance companies handle claims based on their merits or leverage? Mm-hmm. And Paul's answer was, without a question, leverage.
Yeah.
So protecting yourself after an accident, if you cannot prove who's liable, you, not somebody else, if you can't prove another party's liable, it's likely we're in a comparative negligence state. That means liability can be split. Mm-hmm. You will, in rear-end accidents, somebody rear-ends you, you could be blamed for part of it. And if you can't prove it, you got World War III on your hands. I had a loss myself last year. I was in the turn lane, got rear-ended. The first thing I did, you know, once I knew it was safe for me to get out of my car, it wasn't 10 seconds before I was out of my car, and I had photos of that accident scene from multiple angles and then the vehicles. But I knew I could prove that I was where I was, where the other party was, and I had photos to prove that. And then I got the information from the other party, which included their driver's license.
Yes.
Honestly, I have good coverage. I don't care what their insurance card says. I care about who they are, and my insurance company can go get reimbursement from them when I file a claim under my coverage, so I'm protected.
Yeah, makes sense. So I really appreciate you guys coming in. It was a great conversation here around automobile accidents, what you do with the appraisal and the collision. And really, I mean, the takeaway here is to make sure that you understand what type of insurance that you have, the protection that you have and that you don't have, and really consult with an expert that understands how to coach you and know your rights. So thank you, all of you, for coming into studio.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I look forward to talking with you same time, same place, right here on 1150 AM KKNW.